Lord.
Previously, in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, the party continued, and at last Craig and David met, each instantly taking to the other. Presents were given, and Craig was encouraged to model the Aran sweater knitted by his mother. Then his best present arrived, Pamela.
They hugged again, and Craig took her hand, leading her into his bedroom. When he had closed the door behind them, she felt a sudden panic.
Craig, I don't think we should.
Should what? And he was laughing.
You know.
She was suddenly self-conscious. He placed his hand gently over her mouth. Will you marry me? He removed his hand.
Of course I will, Nitwit, but we're not going to...
Consummate it now. Of course not. I just didn't want the others to hear. He gave another laugh. They'll be wondering what's happening. They don't know anything about you, and they certainly don't know you're here.
Your mother does,
she said and grinned wickedly at him. He was leading her back into the hall when he suddenly stopped and turned to her. She knew you were coming, Pam nodded vigorously. But how...
She didn't burn my letters you refused to open. She read them all and answered them. We went on exchanging letters of our own, and she invited me to your party.
Wide-eyed, he pulled her back into the bedroom. How much has she been telling you about me?
Oh, I'd say just about everything. So, you see, I don't feel out of touch with you at all. She was a bit worried when you took up with Daisy. In one way, she was glad that you had a reason to start going out again, but she didn't think you had anything in common with her, and she was afraid you'd get bogged down in a doomed relationship you would live to regret.
So she wasn't really sorry when Daisy called off tonight?
She was sorry for you, but secretly delighted, and immediately asked me to come instead. At first, I felt a bit like the booby prize.
You could never be that. But how she knew I still cared for you, I'll never know, because I couldn't bring myself to speak about you. It was just too painful.
Call it a mother's intuition. She certainly managed to convince me that I was the best birthday present you could possibly have.
And you are, my darling. But when did you arrive?
Yesterday. I stayed overnight with Irene and John.
So they were in on the plot too, cheeky buggers. He laughed, and the kiss that followed was arousing them both too much for comfort, but neither wanted to stop. Breathing heavily, Craig managed to get himself under control. We'll have to stop this. They'll all be wondering what's happening. Come on, let's tell them.
Tell them what?
What do you think? The other guests were chattering and drinking when the door flew open. All heads turned as the loud voice proclaimed, I want you all to meet my fiancé. There were whoops of joy as everyone gathered round the happy couple and introductions were made to the newcomer, while Auntie Margaret remained seated, giving a very good impression of the proverbial stunned mullet. As the laughter and loud congratulations died down, Pippa, grinning from ear to ear, called out, Come on, everyone, through to the dining room and have some food. You can bring your plate back here if you like. Auntie Margaret still sat in the best seat, finishing the finger food that her husband had been commanded to bring from the dining room. My varicose veins are fair giving me jupe, she had said by way of excuse. She was daintily patting her lips with one of Pippa's pre-war linen napkins, an irreplaceable item now, when she noticed David collecting used plates. She waited till he bent over to take hers. She stayed his hand and gave him what she considered her most winsome smile. "Now, young man, it's time you and A had a wee chat."
"Thanks for the young, Margaret. I doubt I'm all that much younger than you, though."
"Flatterer," she simpered. In fact, he was only 10 years younger, but Margaret was old when she was 25. "Put these plates down and come and sit beside me." He placed the stack of used crockery on the sideboard and pulled up a high-backed chair.
"How are you enjoying yourself, Margaret?"
"Oh, fine, fine. It's a while since Arthur and A have been out anywhere, the air raid, you know. And we never got an invitation to visit when Craig came home. He was having problems, you know. But it's been lovely meeting all these young people. Little did we think it was going to turn into an engagement party."
"Oh, I don't think that was the original intention. Craig didn't even know Pam was coming tonight."
"Oh, really? So who is she?" She bent her head towards him and lowered her voice as if imparting classified information. "She's English, of course. I heard her speaking, and I could tell that right away, because lots of people think I'm English. But she seems very nice for all that. He must have met her when he was down south."
"Yes, he did. She was his nurse and speech therapist."
"Indeed. Oh, of course, the stutter. Philippa explained when I phoned that that was why he didn't want to see people." She gave a little sniff. "Mind you, I'd have thought relatives weren't just people. But never mind, I certainly haven't noticed any stutter tonight, except when he said fiancé. I just put that down to excitement."
"Pippa told me that's the only time the stutter comes back, either when he's excited or angry. But he's made terrific progress."
"My, my. Pippa, is it? We always called her Philippa." With a forced, tight-lipped smile, she added, "But maybe you're closer to her than we are. She certainly seems to tell you more." David saw exactly where this was going and decided not to buy into it.
"As I said earlier, we're colleagues. All the other teachers call her Pippa too,"
he lied.
"We often chat in the staff room. She was very worried when Craig first came home and she needed someone to talk to. And as a second head, I'm the one designated to deal with any personal staff problems."
"Well, I suppose we're all different. Now, I'd have chosen another woman to talk to." Margaret did not miss the almost imperceptible hardening of David's jawline, and she decided to change her line of questioning. "Do you think Philippa, or Pippa as you call her, will be pleased with this engagement? After all, she's going to lose her son, and she's already lost the best man she could ever have hoped for."
"She won't see it that way. As a matter of fact, she's been in touch with Pam ever since Craig came home, and she's the one who invited her to this party."
"Do you tell me? My, my, what a devoted mother. But what I don't understand..."
You must excuse me, Margaret. I've got to help with the clearing up."
"I just wanted..." But he had quickly removed her plate and returned to the sideboard, retrieved the other plates and made his way to the kitchen. Margaret noticed with arched eyebrows that Pippa immediately followed him. "I'm sorry, David. I saw you got trapped with Margaret. Was she being nosy about us?"
"Us and Pam. And I dare say everybody else if I'd given her the chance."
"I don't know how you managed to escape so quickly. Our victims are usually trapped for the rest of the evening."
"Oh, I just told her I had to help with the clearing up."
"And did she say, Nay, nay, you're very domesticated. David barked out a loud laugh at Pippa's impersonation.
She would have if I hadn't beaten a hasty retreat. She's bursting with curiosity about us. I suppose any sign of domesticity will confirm her worst suspicions.
A Fond Kiss is by Alice Dale and produced for radio by Capital Radio Productions. Thank you.